Good afternoon and welcome to the Grassroots Sport and Business Show here on Spectrum On Air. Usually I'm here with John Woodcock or Vanessa Chalice or anybody else who cares to sit alongside me as we deliver the show. But today it's Dave Johnson Rayner against the world, other than my special guest today. So this is a young lady who we featured on the show maybe 2-3 months ago, a lady called Aaliyah Likaluta. She's a student from the southeast of the UK and down in the Kent region and within her school. She'd been working around World Food Day and the different sorts of cultural differences. Cultural diversity is a word that Aaliyah had mentioned to me before, which I think is fantastic. And so today we'll be looking at how that has impacted Aaliyah, but also what's happened off of the back of it. So I'd just like to welcome to the show Aaliyah Likaluta. Hi, Aaliyah.
Hi, David.
How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, really well. Thank you. Really, really well. Did you have a good Christmas?
Yes, I did. Had a little Christmas party with the family.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good. Very similar to what we did, except we did our family get-togethers outside of Christmas Day. Christmas Day, me and Jane, my wife, and we just sat and basically drank too much and ate too much. So it was a good but quiet Christmas. You know?
Yeah.
Do your family all live quite close to you?
No, not really, actually. Okay. They're all dotted around the world, to be honest.
Are they?
Yeah.
So did you have international visitors on Christmas Day then, or was this your local family? Did you?
Yes.
Tell me.
My siblings from France came over. Okay. Just on the winter half term. Yeah. So they spent Christmas with us.
Very nice. Yeah. And so how many people did you actually have in the house for Christmas dinner then?
22.
Wow, 22.
Yeah.
Goodness me, you must live in some kind of huge house.
Yeah.
Good fun though, yeah?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was.
Fabulous. And so when we last spoke, you were preparing for World Food Day.
Yes.
You just like to remind us what that was about, where the interest locally had come from, just for those that either can't remember that particular show or weren't able to join us on that day, you know, to just enlighten us a little.
So basically World Food Day is a cultural food festival that gives an insight to the different cultures that we have at my school, Valley Park. And what it was is that we made 10 different dishes from all around the world. If we break it into sections, we did around 2 to 4 dishes of each country, the main continents, sorry. Which would include the Americas. So mm-hmm. both South and North America together, Europe, Africa, Asia, and the Oceania, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think from the top of my head, for Europe we did scones and halloumi. For Africa we did fried rice, donuts, jollof rice, chicken, and then for Asia we did samosas, we did kofta. And then for the Americas, we did jambalaya and plantanos colados.
You know what? I've not heard of either of those American dishes.
jambalaya is kind of like a paella in a way. Yeah, so it's got chorizo, chicken, and prawn in it, the same way as paella does. And plantanos colados is a kind of like a plantain and a coconut oil, kind of cooked in coconut oil, if that makes sense. So it's got like a sweet banana taste with like that coconut oil hint. Yeah.
That's making me hungry.
Yeah. So that was, that's World Food Day. And I got my friends to help me execute the whole plan. It took me about 5 months to plan the whole event. Upon it being cancelled in July and eventually happened in October.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So was it worth the wait? Did everybody agree?
Oh, yes, definitely. It was definitely worth the wait because we got to iron out a few details that needed to be improved. And we were able to get like a lot of feedback from it because we decided to do surveys last minute. Just to see where we could, you know, if it was done next year, where it could be ironed out, if that makes sense. So initially the whole event was, it was actually quite an experience for everybody, both the people that did it and came to it, because we decided to do like a 20p entry. Because, you know, if you're getting free food, there has to be something that comes from it. You know,
bad deal, 20p.
Yeah. So from that money that we raised, we think we raised about over like £80 to £100. So you can imagine how many people showed up. I think it was around 500 students and teachers in total. and then upon that, we donated the money to Show Racism, the Red Card charity.
Great charity.
Yeah. Because on conveniently the same day that World Food Day was, it was non-school uniform for that charity. So, right. Yeah.
Just added it to the
just world. Added it to the donations, yeah. And then upon, I think what else happened after that? I think, but yeah, no, we had like different music styles from different countries as well. I don't really think that people actually paid attention to that purely because, you know, the food was the main, it was the main source of the whole thing. And the music was pretty drained out by all the voices. Mm-hmm. But the decorations as well was pretty, it was pretty last minute, but it was really like, I was like amazed because I assigned some of my friends to do the decorations. When I came in and I saw it, I was like, wow, like it's actually happening, kind of feeling, you know? So, but the day that it actually happened, it was really, really stressful for me. I can't lie to you. I was shouting at everyone. I think I cried. Because I thought it was gonna go wrong, but it turned out to be the best thing. So yeah.
So take us back to the very start then. So, and when I say the start of the day. So obviously a lot of planning had gone into this. You're talking about decorations, you're talking about music, and then you're talking about feeding 500 people. Where do you start with arranging something like that? How does that work?
My God. So I actually had the whole day planned out so that, you know, everything could go smoothly, but it didn't go smoothly. You know, it's just how things go. Mm-hmm. Can't always go to plan.
True.
My plan was that in the morning, everyone comes in at 8 o'clock. And what I did, I made sure that the day before all the food was prepped. So that on the day you just cook it and that's about it. So then after everybody came in, we dropped our bags. I had like a little pep talk with the team. And then after that, we started cooking the food. And then I was just kind of like in and out of the hall, because that's where it was, in the hall and the kitchen, to see how things were going. And then I decided, no, I can't do that because I need to cook my dishes as well. So I decided to appoint somebody in charge of the hall so that the hall would be ready by the time the food was done. Yeah. And that actually really helped split up my workload, which was really good. And then I Well, I was cooking the African dishes alongside my friend. I did the fried rice and she did the suya, which is kind of like a kebab meat, really spicy kebab meat. And then after that, sorry.
Aaliyah is on children sitting duties, so I will bear with her. I mean, for me, that was absolutely amazing. I struggle to make food for myself, whether that's breakfast, dinner, or tea, to try and get your ingredients, everything prepared and ready to cook in a relatively short period of time. That takes some organising, and it's probably a bit of a monster that I wouldn't be able to handle on my own. But I think it's a measure of how passionate Aaliyah feels about this type of thing. Because, yes, food is what we're talking about today at the moment. But if you look at what it actually does mean, does represent, it's cultural differences. And I've said it before on the show, I believe in united we stand and divided we fall, and we should celebrate what it is that is the same about us all. But culturally, you can't ignore the fact that cultures enrich our life. Here she is, she's back again. I can stop padding. Is everything okay?
Yes, it's all right.
Excellent, excellent. So where were we? We were talking about the start of the day, weren't we?
Yes. So we had our teacher help us with the food as well. And the food had to be finished cooking by 1:20, which is right. Like when our lunchtime starts. Just, you know, for health and safety. You know, there's a lot of things to consider, especially with food. Like if you're cooking rice dishes, they have to be either served hot or cold. They can't be served warm or reheated like that, because, you know, it leads to food poisoning. So yeah, I was kind of focusing on that, and then I started crying because, you know, the stress, the tension is just building up. But then my friends just told me to calm down and relax. You've got this, like, we still got time, you know. And then after that, it was the actual event. So it was kind of like, it's speedy, 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 and then it happens, if that makes sense. Yeah, so the time, I don't even know where it went. And upon that, the actual event, we all went in, we took a group photo. I got some people to video the whole event, I appointed like my friends in different dishes so that, you know, they can be serving, because of COVID we don't want people to be taking food and stuff like that. And then we had like people coming in for seconds.
That was quite funny. He's charging the 20p for a second.
Yes, I did. I did.
As the entrepreneur, and you're coming out. Good to see you.
Yeah. So people were coming for seconds, coming for thirds, and then we realized that within the first 15 minutes of the event, all the food was gone.
In 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God.
I know.
That's a good thing. Isn't it? Unless you're cooking off. But sounds to me like the people coming back for seconds and thirds.
Yeah.
Amazing. And so, because we're a couple of minutes from the commercial break, quick question from me, kind of take us up to the end of this segment, is, was there a more popular continent for food than another? Was there a least popular and a most popular, or was there a good spread of interest in all of the different foods?
I mean, I wasn't really paying attention, but according to the survey, which was one of the questions on the survey, the most popular country was Africa and Asia. Nice. And the least popular was Europe. And yeah, just Europe.
Yeah. So isn't that strange? That's probably because, even though we're not in Europe, but we are in Europe, or, you know, Brexit, whatever that means. I would imagine we're used to those tasting those foods, and people probably had them before. Whereas potentially, I would imagine there were quite a few people that hadn't tried food from different continents. And so that must have been really, really interesting on that survey afterwards.
Yeah.
But I do get the whole fact that you probably weren't able to take into account any 1 minute within that day because you'd have been so busy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to a commercial break. When we come back, Aaliyah, we'll delve a little bit deeper into what was in and around the day and what's happened since and whether you dare do it again. But let's go off to a commercial break and we'll be back with you very, very shortly. Hello and welcome back to the Grassroots Sport and Business Show. We're here on Spectrum On Air with me, Dave Johnson-Rayner from Koi Sports. No co-host today, just our amazing guest, Aaliyah Lekaluta. And for those of you that were privy to the first section of this show, you will know that in October, World Food Day happened down in Kent, and Aaliyah Lekaluta was responsible for the whole thing, basically. Smiles, tears, you name it, it sounded like a great day. And so just to continue on the conversation where we left it, the popularity in foods, the African continent is very rich in different sorts of cuisines, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Definitely.
It must have been quite hard to have chosen the two that you did, or was it quite easy?
I mean, yeah, it was quite hard. And I did ask other students in the school to bring in dishes from their own homes. So the reason why those continents were so popular was because we were getting more food from students. Mm. So it was the biggest food-wise continent in the whole.
Yeah, amazing. And just before we move on, I just want to step back a moment. How on earth do you judge how much food to do? I mean, it's not like you're just having five or six people sit around the table. You know, you're talking hundreds of people expecting a choice. How does that work? Did you just wet your finger, stick it in the air and hope that it all worked out well? Or was there some science behind it?
There was quite a lot of thinking behind it. I think it took me about a week to kind of proportionalize everything and set like a target number. I decided to do like 50 portions of everything.
Okay.
So I think that would equate to like about 200 people in a way. Yeah. So, and the servings were pretty small as well. So I did think that it would kind of, and plus I didn't really have faith in it, if that makes sense. A lot of people were telling me that, they didn't realize that so many people would come. Like I didn't realize that so many people would come. That's the reason why I put the portions so low. And our kitchen is not really equipped enough to cook for a whole school, so I had to make the portions really low. But yeah, that was about it.
Nice, amazing. So let's leave that there. Fantastic. We know that it was across continents, different styles of food, a couple of dishes from each continent. We know that Europe was the least popular. We know that the food from the African continent was the most popular. What's happened since? I mean, if we start with the day ending and you getting feedback from the survey, what sort of questions did you ask on the survey for students?
So the way that it worked was that I gave like a brief overview of what World Food Day is. And then after, the first question was like, please rate the quality of the food, the decor, and just those two. And then I think the first proper written question was, would you have it again? Do you want another World Food Day? And I think the second question was the popularities of the continents, and then it was any other additional comments. Yeah, so it was quite a short and sweet survey.
That makes sense to me. If you want people to complete something, make sure it's short and straight to the point, you know.
Yeah.
And if it was me, I'd probably lose interest halfway down the side of A4, so you know, It's just those pertinent questions, isn't it? The ones which not necessarily obvious, although there's nothing wrong with obvious, but you know, that which will help you moving forward. But of course, being a student in your last year, you won't be running it again at your school because you won't be there. Or is that not the case? How's that working? Because I understand there's been some interest.
It actually really saddens me because I don't know whether the tradition of World Food Day will be carried on. I know that a lot of people want it to happen, but you need someone as passionate as I am to really execute it. So I was thinking and I realized, why am I gatekeeping my idea and just keeping it to my school? Why not broaden it and showcase it in other schools? So I went to a school in Folkestone about, I think it was about a month ago, and I did like a mini World Food Day there because they only have like a little food class. And I just chose four dishes from each of the main continents of Europe, Asia, Africa, and the Americas. And we had like 2 hours to make everything. We did chicken chow mein, we did suya burgers, we did buttermilk kind of like biscuits with honey butter, and we did scones. And honestly, they absolutely loved it as well.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Do you know that's such a good thing, because I think, and those that heard the last show, especially John, who's with us at the time, no, he was very keen when we were chatting during the show and afterwards, that the idea itself shouldn't be just siloed. You know, it should be put out there. Because let's face it, pretty much all of us love food.
Exactly.
And what a great topic. And I think being able to share what you've learned, but also your idea with other schools, makes perfect sense. You're opening it up. And so we went to the school in Folkestone. Was it just the catering class, the cookery class that got involved, or did it get opened up to a lot more people?
No. It was just the catering class, purely because school is so big. So the amount of food that we prepared would not be enough for everyone. So we just proportionalized it for a class of 20 students.
Right. Yeah. It's still quite a few people, isn't it?
It is, and you know, a little helps. Every little helps.
Yeah, that's amazing. How did you get to? Did you approach Folkestone, the school in Folkestone yourself, or did they hear about it from people within your school? How did that approach work?
So my careers advisor, she tagged me in like a post that a school in Folkestone was doing a diversity week. And then I set up a meeting with the senior stakeholder of that school. And I told her about my World Food Day idea. And from there, she kind of like, you know, devised like a plan of how we could execute it at their school. And then that's how that happened. They paid for my transport. And then I was able to go to that school and execute the idea. And yeah, the children, they loved it. And they actually took upon the idea of actually doing a bigger festival. So the actual whole World Food Day idea. And they said that they wanted to invite me back to do the whole, yeah.
I think that's amazing. A good idea will always be a good idea.
Yes. You
know, always. Yeah. And you know, to hear you talk and to relate it back to why we were so keen to get you back on a second time. Grassroots Sport and Business Show, this is about cookery in schools. But everything you've spoken about, and those with any understanding of business listening to you talk, is screaming at the radio saying, Aaliyah, there is a business here. There is a business here. You know, you can spread the World Food Day and enrich people's lives by doing it. And the fact that the school was willing to pay the transport fees, they wanted you there, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's amazing. So congratulations from me to you on getting this far. No problem. And so has that led to any more kind of conversations about, okay, you're not going to be there next year because you'll finish your schooling and move on? Have they spoke about when you come back in, what capacity is it going to be in? Is it going to be overseeing it? Is it going to be actually doing the whole thing again, but with students from the school? How's that going to work?
So I know this is unrelated, but currently I'm head student at my school. And one of the things that I wanted to do, even if I'm not in that position, is to come back. I know that I'll be in uni, but I will come back for like a short period of time and work with the new head students at my school, introduce the idea again. And if they want to do it, they can work with the prefect team to kind of execute the idea. And then I would just oversee it.
Yeah.
But I know myself, I would definitely want to get involved as much as possible. So,
yeah. Get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
Wow. See, that must excite you, I would say. I mean,
yes.
It's that acorn of an idea to actually getting it done with COVID in the way and everything, you got there in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it would be such a shame, wouldn't it, to put in all of that work for it then to just remain a member.
I know, yeah.
It's amazing. And I think when something good happens, generally word spreads. I mean, it's true what they say as well. When something bad happens, that spreads faster. But the good news side of it, of anything really, just kind of leads people talking. And we know that the education sector is very well linked, some might say incestuous. But, you know, people will talk about it. And I think with the amount of planning that it takes, you must be thinking about, okay, so coming in and leading that next one at whatever school or across however many schools, what do you think you'll take from the experience of actually delivering it for the first time? What are the important things that you think you'll take with you and pass on to try and relieve the stress of the person who will then be in your shoes?
Funnily enough, I was actually asked this question in a talk that I did in a school in Westmorland, because I was invited to just do like a whole young entrepreneurial talk to students to a special needs school, and I was actually asked the same question. And one of the students asked me, "So, what would you do like when you're stressed?" And you know how to calm people down and stuff like that. And I said to them, "You first of all, you've got to realize that these things are going to happen, and you know, as long as you know how to kind of deal with it, if that makes sense. As long as you don't panic, and as long as you don't put other people into the whole fear thing, then I think that's the most manageable way of tackling those things." Like you know that it's okay to get stressed, you know it's okay to, you know, for things to go wrong, but as long as you know how to rectify it, know how to deal with your emotions and get up and move on, I think that's what's most important. And I think that's exactly what I did. And I think that's what I will take away from all of it.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, because you can read as many books on whatever subject you like, but you can't beat actually getting your hands dirty and doing it to actually learn.
Yeah.
And that knowledge then becomes ever so powerful, because the next person that is responsible for doing it, of course, can draw on your experience to at least maybe see some of the challenges that are going to face them when they do it. I think it's amazing. And I tell you what, I didn't know about this entrepreneurial talk that you were asked to give. That we're definitely picking up on that in the third part of the show. But I think with the 3 minutes or so that we've got left in the second segment of three, I think it'd be remiss of you and I not to give a shout out to the people that helped you make that happen, that day happen. Because Aaliyah didn't wave her magic wand. You know, you had a team, and clearly you managed that team very well. Who were those key players? I mean, please don't give surnames, but, you know, please talk about your team and tell me what that was all about.
Should we start from the beginning or like...
Well, I think we've got 2 minutes. Sorry, 3 minutes. So give us an overview and we'll touch on it in more detail in the third segment.
I think from the people that was there for me in the beginning was my boyfriend, George, Sophie, Tangino. Those four people were the main ones that helped me. And then they invited all of their friends to come and help me. And then that's how the team was formed. So yeah, those are the four main people that I have to thank the most. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
They're all the same age as you?
Yeah.
The same year. Wow. And so it really was a team effort then, because as you explain it, as you got those close inner circle, and then they invited their friends and people into build that team. And did you have an idea in your head of what that team needed to consist of, or was it a case of how many people come forward and then let's worry about that?
No, not necessarily. I kind of broke them up into different segments, if that makes sense. So the four people were in charge of different things. So Sophie was in charge of the decorations. George was in charge of like the kitchen with me. Tangina was in charge of the music, and then my boyfriend was in charge of the advertising kind of perspective of it.
Okay. Yeah. So that sounds like you've got all bases covered there, which is good, isn't it? Within that team, nucleus of a really strong team to cover all of those different things. And so, with regards to that inner team, and we do have just 1 minute left. Was there a cohesion between that team, or were there arguments? I'm just trying to get to the dynamic of what that inner circle looked like and what it did.
Were there arguments? Of course there was. There was definitely arguments, which I kind of worried about in a way, which I had to kind of like switch the roles, but we ended up managing it, which was good. Yeah.
That's good. It's good. And, you know, you don't have to get on all of the time in any walk of life, but as long as you're working together and you're all buying into the same outcome, then clearly you can overcome that, can't you? And push forward with it. Really, really good. Okay, so we're just about to go into the second commercial break. We'll be back very, very shortly to continue and finish our conversation with Aaliyah and maybe look at what's come out of Aaliyah's World Food Day in a little bit more detail. Look forward to speaking to you again very soon. Good afternoon and welcome back to the Grassroots Sport and Business Show here on Spectrum On Air with myself, Dave Johnson-Rayner from Koi Sports. No co-host today, no John Woodcock, no Vanessa Chalice, but we've been chatting with Aaliyah Lickaluta about her World Food Day event that She planned. COVID got in the way. And then eventually in October of last year, a successful delivery of World Food Day for her fellow pupils at her school down in Kent. For those of you that have listened to the first couple of sections, you'll see that we've worked our way through. We began to talk about the team that Aaliyah formed and put around herself, and then how responsibilities were shared out, etc. And I think it would be fair to say that the whole day was a success, because even if you were confident of that, to then get interest from another school in the southeast of England, from Folkestone, that must have given you a good feeling, Aaliyah.
Yeah, it did. It really did.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, that's the whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Because it's like, people are actually interested in my idea. Yeah. And it kind of motivates me to carry out more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so with regards to the whole event's happened and you've now gone to Folkestone, it's proving there's interest in what it is that you're doing. What other stuff did you do afterwards in and around the the day and the success of the day?
I mean, I did touch on the entrepreneurial talk. The school was in West Morling. It's a special needs school. They were doing like a chocolate enterprise event. It was around charities, and they wanted a young entrepreneur to come in and talk to the students and motivate them to say, you know, it's possible to do this at a young age and stuff like that. And I know what I do is not really in an entrepreneurial way, but in a way it can be, if that makes sense. The aftermath of it can be. And I just told them about how I wanted to start my own business of opening an event, a multicultural events company. I told them about all the World Food Day and my interview with IT Bimrigian. And I also told them about my charity work with MACA and the things that we do for the people within Medway as well.
Yeah. And was there some kind of article that went out?
No. I mean, for World Food Day, there was. The school kind of did like a small article for me that I wrote. And yeah, they put it on their magazine called Park Life Magazine. Yeah.
That's brilliant. So it's documented and will be there forever.
Yes, it will.
Fantastic. We, of course, we're hoping that isn't the end, and then you move forward with this. And you've already spoken about opening a multicultural events company.
Yeah.
Is that very real, or is that something which you think you'd like to do? Where are you with that thinking?
I'm not really getting that far with that. I'm just mainly focusing on doing these things out of the kindness of my heart. Yeah. But in the future, once I finish uni, I think then I'll start with the preparations of actually developing that business.
We've certainly given yourself 2, maybe 3 years to plan it, execute it, and get it right.
Yeah.
You say you're moving on to university. Is this going to be food or culture related when you go on to into uni?
The course that I want to do is events management. So basically what I'm already doing now.
Yeah.
Yeah, just learning about it in more depth. And yeah.
Taking it to the next level, some might say.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. But obviously immediate plans are you'd like more schools, whether it be, am I right in saying, wherever it might be or wherever that school might be.
Yeah, honestly, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
You're looking for interest, which is great. And so if there are schools listening who like the idea of enriching the student experience through a World Food Day, and why not? Like I said before, with all the food, what a great way to be able to teach young people about cultural diversity and through food. You know, I think that's fantastic. And of course, we have to be aware of safeguarding. And so to give your contact details out, that would be remiss of us. Therefore, I'm going to share my contact details. And if there are any schools, whether they're special education needs schools, alternative education providers, or mainstream schools, please feel free to give me a call or drop me an email, and I'll make sure that Aaliyah gets your contact details and can contact you about what's involved and how it works and what the next steps are. So my contact number, if you want to contact me by phone, is 07376 871514. That's 07376 871514. Or you can contact me by email, david.johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N, hyphen Rayner, R-A-Y-N-E-R, at Koi Sports, K-O-I Sports. .co.uk. Wouldn't it be great if we got some more interest from from schools across the UK or even internationally, because the show goes out, being internet-based, to anywhere in the world. Wouldn't it be fantastic if you could share your experience and the successes of the day that you did back in October with others? I think it would be amazing.
Yeah, it definitely would.
Yeah. And I think for me, momentum is a great thing, whether it be in your personal life, hobbies, interests, or in business.
Yeah.
The fact that you've got your school talking about it and school in Folkestone talking about it, I wouldn't be surprised if you get a few more inquiries.
Fingers crossed, hopefully.
Yeah.
I
think it's just keeping it in people's minds, and obviously coming on the radio and talking about experience of the day. You know, and I'm sure you'll chat about it across social media. Just keep that message alive. You know, I think it's a message which is worth sharing, and worth keep going on with, for sure.
And yeah, I have done my absolute best to try and, you know, get the word out there by, you know, putting it on my LinkedIn profile. I've gone on to a podcast. One of my friends' podcasts, she has her own podcast, and I went and talked about World Food Day on there. And, you know, I think mainly the radio shows and podcasts and LinkedIn is kind of what's helped me gain more connections with people. Mm. And I recently got into like a creative arts and events program. And from there, I really hope, because we get like a lot of guest speakers that do like create a lot of within the creative arts industry, and networking with them has also helped as well, because some of them are marketing agencies, some of them are artists, and it kind of just helps, it kind of in a way helps me develop my idea as well, because, you know, there's always room for improvement.
So that's another way which people can get in touch with you, is obviously through your LinkedIn page.
Yeah.
Do you want to just guide people in the right direction, i.e. how do you spell Aaliyah Lipolita? Because obviously that's the best way to search for you.
So it's AAALIYAH, and Lipolita is LIKULUTA. And then I think if you just search that name up on LinkedIn, hopefully come up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it will. I'm pretty sure it will. Fantastic. And so you're now obviously going back to school next week.
Yes.
Or this week. What does the rest of your final year look like? What have you got planned? What's going to happen to Aaliyah during those last 4, 5, 6 months?
I think the next upcoming event is the whole in Folkestone, they want to do a more bigger World Food Day festival in their school. And I think that the first kind of plan for me is just to help them. And then obviously I have my duties as head student to underway. I have to plan prom. I have to work on my diversity campaign that I came up with within my school, to have like a whole cultural month or like a couple cultural days that are kind of like similar to World Food Day, but it's kind of focused on a different aspect other than food, because, you know, we can't always focus on food. And then I think after that is focusing more on this creative arts and events program. Because they gave us like £1,000 budget to plan our own event in summer of 2022.
Right.
And I'm just brainstorming ideas of the kind of multicultural event that I want to do, and I kind of thought, why not be a good idea to do like an exhibition where it showcases different arts, like music, dance, and then, you know, actual arts, like fine arts, graphics, textiles, stuff like that, and how it is in different cultures, if that makes sense. So, yeah,
really
I think that was that's the event that I'm planning and hopefully it'll take place in Medway in 2022.
Nice.
Summer of 2022.
That's almost building on that multicultural message that you started with food and seeing. Because of course, even though we all eat and we all like food, sometimes people will get it better if it's something else. There must be so many different things that you could do. But clearly you've got to go with what you think is going to work best.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be really interesting to see what that looks like. So you've got a £1,000 budget. This is from the school. You've got to put this event on.
No, no, it's part of a company called Ideas Test.
And it's called what, sorry?
Ideas Test.
Ideas Test, okay.
Yes, and they kind of like invited 18 to 25-year-olds to kind of take place in this events program. But obviously, I know I'm not 18, but I was just a lucky upcomer. So yeah, and it's probably just because I'm going to turn 18 next year. That's probably why.
I think that's really good. The fact that those kind of initiatives are out there as well. It plays right into your hands, that does, doesn't it, on what you're looking to achieve.
It does. Yeah.
I've done better. I think that's fantastic. Well, I wish you would all the luck in the world with that.
Thank you.
And so I'm guessing that in itself will give you contacts with other people doing that particular initiative.
Yes. Definitely.
That's what it's all about at the end of the day, isn't it? Meeting different people and picking and choosing the ones you perhaps like to collaborate with.
Yeah.
And are they a good bunch? Good bunch of people?
Yeah, it's quite a short group of people, but it's close. We're close. We connect well. Like, you know, even though we have our differences, they kind of interlink. So, it's kind of good to be surrounded by older people as well.
Because
they're 18 to 25 and I'm 17. So it's kind of like good to kind of get knowledge from them too.
I think I heard a saying once, and we're talking many, many years ago now, it's better to learn from somebody else's mistakes rather than your own.
Yes, exactly.
So you have to lessen the risk of being able to go through that. I'm all for making life simple and easy. Why complicate it? No, that would be amazing. That would be amazing. And is that specifically ring-fenced for Kent, or is that a national initiative?
I think the program is only for people in who live, work, or study in Medway. And because obviously I work with the charity in Medway, so that's how I was able to gain the opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I think that's amazing. Again, I can't stress enough that if I can get infused by this, 50-year-old bald man, short, stumpy legs, sitting at his kitchen table up in Newark, then, you know, I think a lot of people could learn a lot and impart a lot of knowledge if they were to contact you, Aaliyah, and have that discussion about how they can hold their own World Food Day, whether that be by class and then scale it up for the whole school, or whether that just be diving straight in and doing what you did and take it into into a wide offering across your school. I think that's absolutely fantastic and very, very commendable.
And I think there is a lesson to learn from it, is the fact that, you know, if you want something, just do it. Like, even though there might be obstacles and stuff like that, but don't let that set you back.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important message that I've got from all of this.
Excuse me a moment. Absolutely. And I think that drive and ambition, if you've got it in you, will take you through almost any challenge, won't it?
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
So that would be your advice. If I was to ask you to impart a pearl of wisdom about everything that you've learned, that would be the diamond with it.
Yes, definitely.
Keep going. Clearly, to have a good team around you, that you can trust as
that
well.
Too. That's pretty quiet, definitely.
Take a bit of the slack. Listen, Aaliyah, thank you so much for coming in again. Really, really enjoyed our conversation today, and I'm hoping people that are listening in also enjoyed it. I think what you've achieved is amazing, and how you've achieved it is incredible. So from me to you, congratulations, and thank you for coming back on and sharing the back end, or maybe the fight finale, is it? But the next stage in the evolution of what it is that you've dreamt up and that you've actually made into a reality. So, Aaliyah, thank you so much.
No problem.
We'll look forward maybe to getting you back on again at a later date in the show. But thank you all so very much for listening from myself and Aaliyah. Have a good week, and join us again in a fortnight's time, where we'll have another amazing guest. All the best.